Today is the second Sunday of Advent. The church learned a long time ago that people need a way to get ready to come close to a mystery like the Incarnation, the mystery we call Christmas. So the church set aside 4 weeks as a season of preparation. On the first Sunday of Advent, we remembered the prophets who pointed the way to Bethlehem. Today, the second Sunday of Advent, we remember the Holy Family. With faith and courage, the Holy Family walks the road to Bethlehem and invites us to walk with them. During Advent, we are all getting ready to welcome Jesus into our lives once more. O Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, desire of the world, Savior of all peoples, come and dwell among us.
Beloved in Christ, in this season of Advent, let it be our care and delight to prepare our hearts and minds for the mystery of the Incarnation and the coming of our Savior, who was and is to come.
Amen.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope in God's call to us.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Baruch. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of the righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head the diadem of the glory of the everlasting. For God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name, righteous peace, godly glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east and see your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot, led away by their enemies. But God will bring them back to you, carried in glory, as on a throne. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low and the valleys filled up to make level ground, so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God. The woods and every fragrant tree have shaded Israel at God's command, for God will lead Israel with joy in the light of his glory, with the mercy and righteousness that come from him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
From the hands of our enemies, free to worship him.
A reading from the letter to the Philippians. I thank my God every day I remember you, consistently praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, I am confident of this, that the one who began good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you
hold me in your heart for all you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Turia and Trachonitis and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. In the building, the Monastery of the Cross, an Eastern Orthodox monastery in the city of Jerusalem, there's a medieval fresco depicting two men. One is elderly, with a long gray beard, wearing the rich robes of a priest or temple official. The other one is younger, wearing animal skins and a rough outer cloak. Their faces are uncannily similar and bear the same stern, somewhat pinched expression. Now, if this looks like a family resemblance, it's not a coincidence, as the men pictured are Zechariah and his son, also known to us as John the Baptist. In the Gospel of Luke, Zechariah is the one who speaks the Benedictus, the beautiful canticle we just sang. And it is worth briefly reviewing his story. According to Luke, he was a priest in the Jewish temple, married to a woman named Elizabeth. The couple was childless, which in the context of that time and place was considered puzzling, given that they were such good and righteous people. Luke tells us that when angel Gabriel, who should be familiar from the Christmas story, visited Zechariah to announce to him that his wife was going to have a son, and that that son would be a great man who would make ready a people prepared for the Lord, he was met with a disbelief that was uncharacteristic of the priest. Zechariah, declaring that he and Elizabeth were far too old to have children, asked for a sign that would confirm the truth of the angel's message. In response, Gabriel caused Zechariah to become mute, a condition that would only end when his son was born and given the name John. And so it came to pass. The beautiful words of the Benedictus, then, are the first words uttered by Zechariah after his 9 months of enforced silence. They form a poem prayer of lasting prophetic power, one that has been part of public worship in the church since the early Middle Ages, and that many of us regularly recite in the daily office. To my mind, this passage contains some of the most memorable and deeply comforting language in the Bible, such as the lines, "In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." Compassion. Perhaps this is not a word that usually springs to mind when we conjure up our caricatured images of a wild-eyed, wild-haired, slightly unhinged John the Baptist in the wilderness. And yet, I'd like to suggest that compassion is central to understanding John's role in the gospel, especially as it relates to these early events leading to the birth and ministry of Jesus. Now, I'm using compassion here both in its literal root sense of suffering with, but also in the larger sense of seeing, knowing, and understanding other people and creatures, especially those who are hurting in some way. Compassion is how we bridge the gap between persons, reminding us that we are all children of a single, compassionate God. Let's first look at the silence of Zechariah in the months leading up to the birth of his son John. We can assume from the little we know of him that Zechariah was a respected man, a person of some status. It must have been very strange for him to be silenced against his will. Perhaps that was an education in compassion for him. It is often when we have some aspect of our identity or power taken away from us that we recognize how fortunate we are, and we may even, by the grace of God, become more aware of and responsive to those who are less fortunate. So maybe that is why, when Zechariah was finally able to speak, his words are not about himself, but about the people of God. They ring out with the promise of liberation, redemption, and salvation. His loosened tongue reveals a heart broken, especially for those who dwell in darkness and of death, the poor, the sick, and the lonely among them. Zechariah's son John, in turn, also shows himself to be a man whose heart is set on God and God's people. We don't know exactly why this longed-for, beloved child went out to live in the wilderness, but we do get a sense that it gave him a deep, embodied wisdom. We know, for instance, that he was a grounded, authentic human being, not because of his unconventional dress and behavior, but because when he was threatened by the powers of the state with brutal retaliation against his truth-telling, he continued to tell the truth anyway, even at the cost of his own life. The word that came to him in the desert wasn't something he kept to himself. He went out and brought it to the people. In a symbolic parallel to Zechariah's time of silence, I imagine John's time in the wilderness to be a kind of apprenticeship in humility and compassion, a necessary journey of transformation before he went out and preached to others about the need for repentance and forgiveness. Both of these men are schooled in compassion, and they both help usher in the life and ministry of Jesus, who is God's compassionate presence made manifest in the world. Zechariah's name means God remembers, and his role in Luke's gospel is to assure his people that God remembers them, remembers that his promises to them, and keeps those promises no matter how outrageous or impossible the promises seem. Based on his own experience of a divine promise kept, Zechariah foretells a time when God's tender compassion will come to full fruition, when the dawn from on high will break upon us. In other words, when Jesus, the Anointed One, will break into human history, ushering in the dawn of a new era. Following in his father's footsteps, John the Baptist also tells of a time when the world will be turned upside down by the coming of the Messiah, the Promised One. He assures us that God will ultimately do away with anything that threatens to stand in the way of all flesh being able to see the salvation of God. No mountain or valley, no ocean or wall or army, nothing will come between us and the love of God, made manifest in the one whose advent Jesus foretells with such passion and love. Last week, on the first Sunday of Advent, we talked about prophets, because prophets are truth tellers. I argued that the ultimate truth teller is Jesus himself, the one who comes to set us free from all the lies and half-truths that keep us from living as fully and abundantly as God created us to live. In much the same way, the full reality of God's compassion is only completely realized and revealed in the person of Jesus. It is out of compassion for us that God chooses to become human in the first place, to live as we live, and to suffer as we suffer. It is because God wants nothing more than to bridge the gap between us, to make straight the crooked pathways, and to level the high ground, that God came into the world as a human being, and that God continues to come into the world in word and sacrament, in the beauty of creation, and in our relationships with one another. In turn, of course, we are called to be people of compassion, following in the footsteps of Zechariah the priest and John the wilderness prophet. Joined to Jesus through the sacrament of baptism, we promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons and to love our neighbors as ourselves. When we do that, we become part of the dawning of a new reality, part of the bridging of that gap that separates us from God and one another. So in our own small way, we can all be beacons of God's tender compassion. We can help shine the light of Christ on all who live in darkness and the shadow of death, as our feet are guided step by step along the way of peace. Amen. If you will all turn to page 4 in your bulletin, and I'm going to invite Kikuzo and his family to come. And while they're making their way forward, I want to give just a few words of sort of instruction about the baptism that we're about to have. We'll do the first part of the service here. You all can stay seated, or you can stand if that helps you to see better, however you're most comfortable, for the first section where we do the presentation and examination of the candidate, the baptismal covenant, and some prayers for the baptizand for the candidate. Then there's going to be a shift, and I will help. What you'll hear is the baptismal hymn will start, baptized in water. And those of us who are up front here are going to be processing out to the narthex. So we're going to actually go into the building that's been closed all these weeks. We've got the narthex, the water's all warmed up, where it's all ready to go. I've got my pant legs pulled up. We're ready to get into that pool. But the narthex only holds 59 people. And we know for some people, the walk out there isn't going to be very comfortable. So the plan is you can join the procession if you want and come into, just follow along behind us, come into the narthex. When we get to an approximation of 50 plus, we'll ask no more people to come in. You can stand around the outside of the narthex if you're comfortable there. The other option is just to stay in here. We're going to be zooming this, and the screen, we'll use the wall as a screen. So if you just want to stay in here, you should be able to see and hear what's happening in the narthex. So everybody has a choice. When we start processing out, and those of you who are in here are going to be singing Baptized in Water, you can either stay here and watch on the wall screen, or you can come with us to the narthex. When we are done out there, some of us will process back in, some of us will go get out of our wet clothes, and then everyone will take their seats again. We'll have time to grab the baptismal candle and hand that off to the family, and then we'll continue with the service. So just follow along, ask your neighbor. We've got ushers who are well trained for today, and we'll make it all work. Will you all come forward? You know, we don't have a microphone for you. Do you want to stand close to the mic over there, and I'll come close to you? Okay, yeah. So we can hear you. We have limited numbers of mics in this room. All right, so is everyone ready? The candidate for holy baptism will now be presented. And that's when you say.
We present Kikuzo Kimberly Song David to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life?
I will with God's help.
Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ?
I will with God's help.
Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from of God?
I renounce them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in and love?
I do.
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?
I do.
And now this is for everyone here. Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support this person in his life in Christ?
Yeah.
Now, if you'll stand as you're able, let us join with him who is committing himself to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
If you guys will come this way, we're going to let Suzanne lead us in the prayers. Let us now pray for this person who is to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Deliver him, O Lord, from the way of sin and death. Lord, hear our prayer. Open his heart to your grace and truth. Lord, hear our prayer. Fill him with your holy and life-giving spirit. Lord, hear our prayer. Keep him in the faith and communion of your holy church. Lord, hear our prayer. Teach him to love others in the power of the Spirit. Lord, hear our prayer. Send him into the world in witness to your love. Lord, hear our prayer. Bring him to the fullness of your peace and glory. Lord, hear our prayer.
Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever.
Amen.
Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who hear are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
The Spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Let us welcome the newly baptized. We receive you into the household of God. Confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood.
In your bulletin is a yellow sheet. If you will take that out, there are a few things to be, what? Beloved, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Share a sign of peace with each other. She's back and dry.
Good morning again. After that refreshing dip and then a costume change, I want to make sure I draw your attention to our yellow sheet where we have our announcements. There are lots of announcements, and some of them that don't fit here are on our website, and they go out on Fridays in our email to all of you. The ones I want to draw your attention to today is after this service, we have a class. It's the second part of a four-part Advent class called The Weary World Rejoices. And today's topic, as you may have guessed from the sermon, is compassion. So we're meeting in 6 and 7 at 11:30 or so. I may be a few minutes late, have to take a couple pictures with our newly baptized member. But the doors of 6 and 7, one of them is open, and you can start gathering there after you grab coffee or what have you. Then plan to come back today at 4 o'clock. The Advent lessons and carols that our choir and guest musicians have been working on for quite a while now that looks to be just wonderful. I got to work on the bulletin, so I have kind of a sneak peek in it. That's happening at 4 o'clock today in this room, and there will be a little bit of a reception afterwards, so please plan for that. Also, after we're done here today, this morning, when the service is over and you head out to get your coffee and then maybe come to class, don't move the chairs. Somebody's had to remind me of this like 3 times. The chairs will be needed for the 4 p.m. service, so you don't have to put any chairs away after church today. Everything... Oh.
And I want to say which troublemaker started that applause. There's also information on the back about other things coming up during the Christmas Advent and Christmas season. Our Christmas services are listed in here. There's an opportunity to give to the church as you, if you want to give donations toward flowers and our operations. The information about how to do that is in here, as well as some wonderful music notes for the anthem, and actually it's mostly about also the what we're hearing later this afternoon. Did I miss anything? And do we have any celebrations or milestones? Anybody have that? Oh, there's one in the back.
Francis and I are celebrating our 3rd anniversary.
Recording in progress.
There is a recording in progress. So our ushers can bring you a goodie bag. For
communion, oh, wait, there's one more back there. Oh, no, you're raising your hand for a goodie bag. Excellent, excellent. Our communion today will be the way we've come to practice it here over the last several months. So one side, there will be... me dipping the bread into the wine and handing it to you. On the other side, the bread and the wine will be separate. The only thing that's new, if you weren't here last week, is that we're using bread, not hosts, for everyone. And all of the bread that we use is gluten-free. It's very carefully prepared by a handful of our parishioners who are doing that as a ministry. And so you will get bread. You will not have to ask for a gluten-free wafer. If you would prefer to come forward and not receive communion, you can cross your arms, indicating that you would like a blessing. But all are welcome to receive communion here in the Episcopal Church. So let us turn to bottom of page 6 for our celebrations and milestones prayer. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and good and joyful to give you thanks, all holy God, source of life and fountain of mercy. You have filled us and all creation with your blessing and fed us with your constant love. You have redeemed us in Jesus Christ and knit us into one body. Through your Spirit, you replenish us and call us to fullness of life. Therefore, joining with angels and archangels and with the faithful of every generation, we lift our voices with all creation as we say. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of the universe and giver of life. You formed us in your own image and called us to dwell in your infinite love. You gave the world into our care that we might be your faithful stewards and show forth your bountiful grace. But we failed to honor your image in one another and in ourselves. We would not see your goodness in the world around us. And so we violated your creation, abused one another, and rejected your love. Yet you never ceased to care for us and prepared the way of salvation for all people. Through Abraham and Sarah, you called us into covenant with you. You delivered us from slavery, sustained us in the wilderness, and raised up prophets to renew your promise of salvation. Then, in the fullness of time, you sent your eternal word, made mortal flesh in Jesus. Born into the human family and dwelling among us, he revealed your glory. Giving himself freely to death on the cross, he triumphed over evil, opening the way of freedom and life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering his death and resurrection, we now present to you from your creation this bread and this wine. By your Holy Spirit, may they be for us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And grant that we who share these gifts may be filled with the Holy Spirit and live as Christ's body in the world. Bring us into the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, that with Blessed Martin and all your saints, past, present, and yet to come, we may praise your name forever. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder,
Y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thank you.
Please rise as you are able. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May Christ, who gathered into one things earthly and things heavenly, fill you with his joy and peace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you forever. Let us bless the Lord.
I was raised in the city of Detroit, and I'm a partner in the street, so I know everyone. Well, I see.